I'm here with artist Margie Livingston, who is featured in Marked, an exhibition at the Kittredge Gallery, which runs from January 17th to February 26th, 2011. Welcome, Margie.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. I'm just curious, because this show is called Marked, it's about artists' impulses to make particular kinds of marks, and your marks have gotten so wonderful and wild and experimental. And I'm really curious about the transition from your previous work. Your oil paintings, though, in some ways were, I mean, they were very unique, but there were more conventional issues that you were dealing with in terms of light and atmosphere. And now you're not dealing with those sorts of perceptual issues, at least not in the same way. So could you talk about that transition?
That transition came about because for years, when I was making the earlier work, I would build elaborate constructions in my studio that I would use as a still life for the paintings that I painted from observation. And they looked like abstractions, but they actually were based on this act of looking. And people would come to my studio and see these grids and strings and branches hanging and go, and think that was really cool. And I was so I decided to get the act of making objects into the foreground of my process instead of as an artifact of my process. And I knew that I couldn't just take the grids that I was using for still life and turn them into an object, that I had to make specific work, and I hadn't ever worked, or I had never shown three-dimensional work before, although I had 10 years of experience of making objects intuitively to build these structures. So I made the decision to make objects out of paint so that I would still be painting, because I'm a very literal person. And then it was a matter of experimentation to see, what it was that you could do with acrylic paint.
So it sounds like you're kind of led by a curiosity about what that material is capable of, about the potential of that. So how did this all start? Was there an initial mark that kind of provided an entry into this new form of inquiry?
Well, there was a show at Soil, and we all agreed to work in some unfamiliar medium, and so I chose acrylic because I'd been painting in oil. I just kind of started. I didn't really answer your question, did I?
So having to branch out thanks to that soil show.
Yeah, I'd done some kind of random experiments, but having a show meant that I really needed to focus and plan, you know, make specific projects and experiment in a more thorough way so that I would actually end up with something that I could show. And you know, it meant more commitment than just kind of doodling. And before long, my studio was divided into two, where I had one third of the studio where I was making these objects with paint, and the other two thirds where I had the elaborate setup where I was painting from observation.
And now that you've been experimenting for
2 years,
couple of years, do you feel like you have certain categories, you know, certain processes that you've developed that you're going to return to and kind of mine and explore further?
I've made things where I made multiple layers of paint so that 253 layers of paint adds up to about 3 or 4 inches of a thing, you know, just by making layer after layer. I've made ribbons of paint that I can wrap into a ball and then cut those in half so that shows the rings that they're making. And I've used pouring of paint to make big sheets of paint that then I fold up so that they become an object, and can kind of contained. They contain all of the abstract expressionist gestural marks inside of it, but they're folded inside of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that abstract expressionist mark, because it does seem like your work is consciously part of a painting legacy.
Mm-hmm.
There are other art, or maybe not painting, but an artistic legacy that you're very conscious of, and you're sort of positioning yourself in relation to other artists. Is that important in terms of your
Yes,
process?
I think because I am a literal person and I still think of myself as a painter, and making objects that are made out of paint. And, you know, I've spent a lot of years dealing with the language of painting. So I'm working through those ideas just in a different way. You know, it gives me a point of reference, kind of a context for these objects. And, you know, everybody is seeing the movie of Jackson Pollock pouring paint on the ground and thought, oh, I could do that, you know. And it's a lot of fun throwing paint around. I'm not saying that my paintings look anything like Jackson Pollock, but it's really just kind of a great sensation to throw a lot of paint on, you know, 2 gallons of paint out on the floor.
Yeah.
All over the place.
You know, one question I also have is about your palette.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at your folded painting actually with Nicholas, and we both were noticing that we didn't see purple and we didn't see green, and we were wondering if there was a reason for that.
When I first started out, I started using, based on a painting by Pollock, white, yellow, red, and black. And those colors, you can mix them to get green, but they don't always mix when I pour, and you can get pink, obviously, and it's not very good with purple. You can kind of, every once in a while, there's kind of a purplish thing that comes up because of the way the other colors combine around it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to use that palette until I had a reason not to, you know, so that I would make a conscious decision about the color, because there's so much going on that I had to learn otherwise. I just thought I would keep the color as a non-question, but I wanted it to be colorful as opposed to black and white or a pure color. So, and I'm gradually doing things where I am mixing other colors and making other kinds of color choices.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, one thing I'm so struck by when I look at your work is this compression of time. You talked about building up these sculptural pieces like through these like hundreds and hundreds of repetitions, and they sort of slouch into these, you know, pretty compressed forms. And then also just thinking about these huge, you know, spread folded or paintings that you fold into these rectangles, and I'm wondering if there's something in that kind of sense of kind of containment or compression that is meaningful in any way to you.
I think that there is, you know, there's that saying in painting, if you can't make it good, make it big, and if you can't make it big, make it red. So, you know, you can make it big and red. I've done that. Big red painting. It's always a hit. But there's something about working on a modest scale that seems very provocative to me, you know, like really just concentrating on the thing of it instead of making it grand, you know, just concentrating on whatever it is. And I'm kind of at that stage right now. I can imagine where in the future that I would like to make some big objects out of paint, but I'm still at also at at the research stage, trying to figure out what things do, you know.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Margie.
Thank you.
It's been good to talk to you.